closely, Tom.
Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on November 5th, 2006. Ghostly Talk is an independently produced show that is produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com. Tonight, we talk about Lone Star Spirits with paranormal investigator Pete Haviland, Soul Man psychic Robbie Thomas drops in for a visit, and J. Allen Danilek makes a case for ghosts.
Only the corrupt are listened to loudly.
Everybody be quiet. I want silence on this line. We're all hiding out here in the winery. We're minus, well, actually, we lost a host.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, listen to Jell-O. Hey, Jell-O.
And on your talk.
You tell them, Jell-O.
We don't get it. We'll make it ourselves.
All right, enough of that. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I am Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Keith.
We have Keith in studio tonight. Doug is on vacation right now, and what has been so sentimentally called as his first paid vacation in 12 years. Am I correct, Doug?
That is correct.
Yes, Doug is on vacation right now. He's off site. He's out and about all over the country. His vacation from after the interview I gave him about this to try to find out what was going on with Doug, he said that he was going to be going all over the country ghost hunting. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to be going, Doug?
Well, I'm going to start out in Costa Rica and then trek over to Paris for about a couple of hours.
Wow.
And then I'm going to zing back through New York. I want to check out the subway system real quick. You know, like in that movie Ghost. And then I'm gonna pop over and pick up Sean B,
mm-hmm.
formerly of ITT, to drag his butt over to Gettysburg.
Really?
That's my big plan.
Well, it sounds like you have quite a trip planned. I know we've been just so people know, starting out of the gate here, we've done this before, but we need to formally thank Nicole Leader and Kevin Cogville from Paratalk Radio, because they are the ones who have facilitated us with a brand new mixing board. This is our first night of using it, as a matter of fact. The bench testing has been pretty good. Doug and I have been working on this thing throughout the week, trying to get it to work right, and we think we locked it in finally this afternoon. So if you're hearing weird stuff, you hear something weird, it's us working the bugs out of this new board. But Bonnie walked in earlier, and she looked at it and said, hey, this is, I'm like, hey, look at the new board. Isn't it nice? And she's like, it's the same board as the old one, pretty much. It's just a different color. But we are, we're working that stuff out, so just give us a little bit of time on that. If you hear something funny, it's all going to kind of hopefully go away with time, unfortunately.
Well, Scott L., it's also clearing up. I mean, I think that we're solving a lot of the issues that have been plaguing Ghostly Talk. We're in our fifth year of broadcasting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll officially turn five in February. We'll have the party in March.
Uh-huh.
But we're, it's been a long time coming because we are amateur broadcasters. So we do this literally. We did it out of a basement, and literally we do it out of the the Haunted Warren Winery, which is not a studio. We call it a studio, but it doubles, And so this is literally an independent production.
So
bugs have to be worked out. Mm-hmm. There is no budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever we can scrape together.
So
what happens is it's really, really smoothing out after all these years. I guess people and ourselves, we're becoming, by going to these conventions And by getting out and about and meeting people, I know I myself am developing a huge amount of pride in what I do, because people tell me, I like listening to you guys, you know, you bring such interesting guests, and oh, and by the way, you know, you suck, but,
no,
but
no.
That's fine. They give us great feedback, and the primary feedback has been, oh, the audio, you know, it's up, it's down, it's all over. And we're like, yeah, we're amateurs, but we're really, really working hard.
No, that's something we've really been, and a lot of people have been emailing about that, and it's something we've really been listening to a lot. It's not something we've been ignoring for the last few months, but it's something we've really tried to get our arms around, and now Doug and I have really been like, okay, we got to lock this thing down, get our arms around everything, get everything, you know, consistent every week. You know, while we still keep, you know, we don't want to turn this thing into a job. That's the biggest problem. When you start trying to formalize everything you do with a production like this, you know, it starts to get kind of monotonous and boring. But we're trying to keep it fun still, but we're trying to make it a better quality production for people out there. So you guys, you know, people that have emailed us, first of all, thank you for taking the time to do it, even whether it was constructive or not constructive. I know Doug and I still really appreciate it. But we are working on these things, and hopefully you're going to hear the difference here, especially going into 2007, because, God, look where we're at right now. It's November already.
I know.
This is crazy. I mean, I can't believe the year's almost over.
It's flown by.
Speaking of November.
Yeah, what's up?
I've only got a half hour with you guys, so I want to...
Oh, okay. All right.
Really...
Everybody mics off.
Okay.
Everybody mics off. No, I want to grill you guys, actually.
Wow.
First, I want to start with Bonnie.
No.
Bonnie, yes, please. How was Ghost Month for you?
Ghost Month? October is always a great month for me, Doug.
Yeah?
But I love Ghost Month. I love talking to ghost hunting groups and hearing what everyone's up to, and it makes me jealous that we don't do it as much as we used to. Which I think I've harped on that many, many times.
Yeah, you have mentioned that in the past. I think we were eating one night, and you said, well, it's not like we go ghost hunting or anything. So I
we
think
used
that's pretty
to,
much almost the quote. We used to, and we do get a little bit in here and there, but definitely not enough. Scott L., how was your ghost month?
My ghost month, I didn't get to celebrate the holiday as much as I wanted to this year for reasons we both know very well about, Doug. So I kind of missed Halloween this year, but as far as ghostly talk and the production we did this month as far as the thing we called Ghost Month, I think it was the best one yet. I think we talked to some fascinating people. I was really happy. I was something I've always wanted to do with the show is have a Michigan Ghost Hunters show one night. I've been wanting to do that for years because, you know, a lot of it's hilarious because we have been to a lot of these conventions and stuff like that, and we've met people from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, ghostly talk. So, like, where are you guys from? And we're like, Michigan. And they're like, no way, really? Like, yeah. You know, and it's just there's a lot of groups out there now. There's a lot of people doing this thing, and it's impossible to keep in contact with all of them. So it's something I've always wanted to do was, like, have a show with nothing but Michigan ghost hunting groups on there. And we did that, and I was really happy about that. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun doing the show for Ghost Month, so I really enjoyed it. That's how I feel about Ghost Month.
Well, you all know that my favorite...
Whoa, how far have you gotten down south? This is y'all stuff.
I haven't gotten quite down south yet, but yes, I'm practicing.
Oh, okay.
So you know that my favorite thing to do, my two favorite kinds of shows, and has got to be the kind where you talk to ghost hunters. That's my number one favorite, and then tied for number one, so they both equally take one and two, are call-in shows, and we never do those anymore.
No.
So,
hey, Doug, though, with the new stuff we have going on here, you know, with the new equipment and whatnot, that's something we may be leaning towards now, too, is to start doing more shows like that. I know we've discussed this already, so it's Yeah, it's something we're going to be working on here in the future for sure. So that's something that will be changing also.
Most certainly, and very, very excited about the flexibility that this new system will let us do with Ghostly Talk. But my two favorite kinds of shows are talking to ghost hunting group people and talking to anybody who calls in. So, because I definitely love talking to people. And so, therefore, Ghost Month on Ghostly Talk was phenomenal for me. Ghost Month, personally, oh, my gosh, it is my busiest month. We did a lot of interviews.
Oh, God, we talked
to a lot of people. Telephone. You and me both, Scott, we together, we were on a lot of these. And, And I
you mean the ones we did outside of the show? Oh yeah, we were doing stuff every week. It seemed like it was just, you know, one email after another would pop in saying, "Hey, you want to come on our show? Hey, you want to come on our show?" And we're like, "Yeah, sure, let's come on your show and talk."
And I absolutely love it. So we did tons of interviews. We did plus my nieces are absolutely adorable, and they're to me that's got to be what, you know, the major holidays are about. And I know Halloween's a minor holiday in, like, Americana, mm-hmm. but it's a major major holiday for me because of what I do and my interests.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, seeing my nieces take it on and be so excited about, dressing up and going out and trick-or-treating and the events at school and things like that, it's a thrill for me. So Ghost Month for me overall is just always has been fantastic, and it has not let me down in 2006. And Keith, Deal or No Deal? Oh, that's the wrong show. How was Ghost Month for you?
Hectic and yet fun. I set out to scare the crap out of people, and I'm quite positive that there's a few little children who are still crying.
Well, I know. You emailed me about, God, like 3 weeks ago, saying, "Hey, dude, if you're not doing anything on Halloween, come on over. I'm setting up a whole thing in front of my house." And honestly, Keith, I have to say, I talked to Amber, and I'm like, "Hey, for Halloween, let's, like, go hang out in front of Keith's house, because he's got this huge thing he's going to be doing." And then all this crap came up, so I couldn't do it. I told you about that.
There was live fire breathing by me, live chainsaws, axes, everything. We were chasing people all over the place. It was great. People were hurt.
I missed it.
You got to get more.
Wow. Is that an open invitation for next year?
Oh, always. Next year, year we get bigger and better, and I was a little disappointed that there wasn't any pant wetting. Or fainting, as in past years, but I'll settle for crying.
I'll take care of all that next year. I'll come over. You can scare me.
We thought some lady was having a heart attack. So she had a heart attack last month, and apparently, and she was complaining about her chest or something. I was hoping, but no.
Oh, jeez. Doug will come over dressed as Richard Simmons and cry for you.
I will cry.
I think you have to see the pictures of this costume. You weren't at the party, unfortunately. That was a bit of a... Wow, that was amazing.
Speaking of which, I was on that News Corporation MySpace.com the other night.
Uh-huh.
I sent a friend request to Richard himself.
Oh
really?
No.
Oh no.
Did he accept it first of all?
Well, here's the problem. He hadn't been on, and I don't think he gets on the MySpace that often. He must be a lot like me in that he must go through fits and starts with the big corporate, you know, websites. But what happens is he hasn't been on since August.
Do you think it's actually Richard Simmons, though?
Well, it appears to be, for all intents and purposes. I mean, it does go on and on and on about, you know, his past and present and a little hints at future projects. So for all intents and purposes, it does seem to be his. Now, there are other ones that do not convey, even though they say they're him, they do not convey the same information. So I sent the one to the I sent the friend request to the most convincing of the profiles.
I hate to tell you, but I actually run that MySpace, and I'll have to hop on there and, you know.
Ask. Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, you know, you send Doug an ad request, you know, and you usually get added about 2 months later.
Yeah.
I actually had to send Doug two ad requests because he ignored the first one.
Oh.
He completely ignored the first one. I'm like, okay, this is the co-host of the show that I'm on, right? You know, and...
You're not important enough.
I'm not important enough to be on his top list. I was so burned out on that, man.
Like, you know, I have his password now. I'm just going to log in and accept everyone.
So I was listening to a talk show the other morning on the way into work, and somebody actually said this. I don't remember who it was exactly, but somebody was interviewing somebody on some show. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, they got on the topic of the big News Corp-sponsored website again.
Mm-hmm.
And... The one guy's like, yeah, you know the world's going to hell when grown adults are worried about whether people want to be their friends or not. Which is very true, you know. While I always say, hey, look, you know, it's just MySpace, chill out. People take that stuff personally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, mm-hmm. if you we just went to Cedar Point last weekend, and you don't have me on your top 10 friends.
Oh, yeah. If you move someone on your top
24. Oh, I've had that happen, too.
The fight is on.
I've had that happen to me, too. I've actually gotten angry emails from people saying, why'd you move me down on your list? I'm like, because I don't know. I'm sorry. God. I don't know.
I've actually thought about completely eliminating my top 8. So there's nobody.
There are people that do that. They just say, you know what, screw it. I don't want to deal with any of you, period. That's actually a good idea. I think Doug will probably end up doing that pretty soon.
I actually just say, screw it. If you don't like it, delete me as your friend because I'm going to have who I want.
Well, I have like over 2,000 people on my list. So,
I know because you are Mr. Popular.
As I throw my wrist up. Yeah.
Everyone loves Scott.
No, it's just.
It's only because they don't know you.
It's because I don't care. Oh, you add me? Okay, whatever. Click. I just click stuff. That's the most brainless website I use now ever. I just go on there and click stuff for about 10 minutes, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I do. There's no rhyme, no reason, no purpose anymore. I just go on there, I click the right buttons, I leave. That's all that MySpace is to me now, I think. I don't know. I used to be...
Scott, am I in your top 8?
On the Ghostly Talk site, you are.
But not on your...
Which you're actually in the top 40.
That's it. You're off the Christmas card list. If I had one, you would be off.
You're actually in the top 48, because the Ghostly Talk list has a top 48, and so does my personal account, too. Because of my ultimate.
I'm in both, just so you know, Keith.
Yeah, Bonnie got both. Doug's on both. Well, Doug's, of course, he's got to be on the top for Ghostly Talks thing.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we should pull him off.
Because I show up every week.
Yeah. But for the most part,
Other than that, I'd be like number 142 or something.
Yeah. I used to have a large listing of top people, but I don't anymore because it just required effort. And if it requires effort.
Well, you know, the funnest thing about the big News Corp sponsored website that I love now is that y'all get these emails and or ad requests from like these super smoking hot chicks, right?
Yeah.
And my mind, the way I've got it figured out, I got this whole thing clocked now, right? I'm like, okay, that chick would never want to talk to me, so I'm deleting it. That's what I do. That chick is just too hot to talk to me. She doesn't want anything to do with me. And of course, if you open it up, you see like, you know, hey, go to see my webcam or whatever for $500 a second, you know, or whatever it is. So yeah,
I don't know because I got a couple. Ad requests and there'd be, you know, smoking hot chicks and everything, and I'm thinking, oh, this is another one of them, you know, webcam thing.
Yeah, that's exactly where it is.
I clicked through on a couple of them, though, and they were real paranormal people. I mean, people who were, you know, interests are paranormal investigation, blah, 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 and I'm like, wow, we gotta get to California.
Well, that's where I guess you have to learn the fine line because it's usually the smoking hot chick that's in the bikini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the one you have to watch out for.
Straddling the car.
Exactly.
Yeah, straddling the car or whatever object that she's on. That's
you know
that's
not their real photo.
Of course
it can't be their real photo.
Some 60-year-old soccer mom or 40 or 50. Right. Or, you know.
I hate to tell you, it's actually me.
It's you, Keith?
Yeah. And I am wearing
Keith
the
is the backbone of the whole porno MySpace empire,
yep.
I think.
Yeah.
Wow, you are really good at Photoshop.
Thank you.
Yes,
Keith is a powerful man.
But, yes, he is.
So I've been told.
I don't know how we got out of this, but it's a good site. It's really great to network on. I mean, I do a lot of emailing concerning this show on there now.
Mm-hmm.
My next project is going to be getting back into my paraspace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I was gonna. You were right on my heels on that, Doug, because that's what I wanted to mention. Also, I mean. There's a lot of people on there, but I want to see more people join up on that. I try to check it every day myself, but it just gets so crazy, and I get the bulk of my messages on MySpace right now. I like to see a lot more of the paranormal people going over to my Paraspace. It's a really cool site. Steve did a great job on that site. We've had him on the show before.
I'm on it, too.
Phenomenal work he's done on that site. So that's another great site.
Right, and the thing is I haven't checked it since I created the profile, and I know I've got requests because I get emails.
Yeah, you get emails.
So I've got to get in there. I've got to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And I got to get, I just really have to start spending time on this stuff. Because, you know, my favorite thing in the world is to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
But to talk to them in person. I don't even like the telephone stuff or the jabber stuff or whatever stuff is the IM thing. But even telephones, I don't like any of that. What I like the best is talking to people face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So that kind of stuff is, you know, the MySpace, my Paraspace is just ancillary to me. And I'm trying to revamp my outlook so that I can use as a tool to get to meet, you know, all these interesting and cool people.
Well, yeah.
So that's what I'm working on. I'm really, you know,
you got
going
a lot to
forward
do,
with it.
You got a lot to do. You got a lot to do, man. You got some work to do. You got to go in there and update that profile. You have to go to, like, pimp your profile and update that thing and put a bunch of glittery stuff all over the page so it doesn't load, right? We got to have this. You know what?
Movies.
We got to fix it. We got to have like 400 movies on there that all start at the exact same time, right?
Oh yeah.
So when you go to the page,
but you know what is missing from his MySpace page, which is on my MySpace page.
What's that?
And belongs on Doug's,
yeah,
is the Ghostly Talk Hill Roll.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Hill Roll. You're right, Bonnie.
We'll hook that up.
Can we get that like hooked up? How does it work?
I'll do it tonight.
We'll take care of
okay.
that. We'll take care of that.
Because I've had people say, you know, you're crazy. How can I find the Hill Roll? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. You go to YouTube and you type it in somehow.
Oh, it's
Hill
also
Roll.
On MySpace videos. Tom put it on MySpace videos.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
I think the other videos, two of us are up there too. With the
it's
one,
on the Ghostly Talk.
We have that one on the Ghostly Talk MySpace page,
yes,
where I killed the fly. We talked about that in pretty much great depth last week with Andy and Tanya Kaiser about the whole thing,
yes,
of that, which was very fun. But yeah, great stuff to meet people with, Doug. You're totally right. How do we get on MySpace?
Doug brought it up.
I brought it up. I was just telling, you know, things that have come up this past month and.
And
that's
and
what,
this the inner struggle of Doug with MySpace,
the addiction.
Well, you know, when you're taking it too seriously. Like when you wake up in the morning and go, "Oh my God, I gotta update my profile today," or "Oh my God, I gotta update the profile." Oh my God, that's when you know you're taking it pretty seriously. But Doug, hey, I understand where you're coming from, Doug. It's a great way to meet people. I'm totally cool with that. I understand how you might have this inner struggle.
I do, and I had to. Get over that, and I'm growing as a person. Now I'm actually, I feel that what we're doing is we're leeching off of the graces of a huge multi-billion dollar company, and I love that.
Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not?
Let's leech their bandwidth for a while.
Let's suck their bandwidth. Let's just suck all their bandwidth. I don't really care. Yeah, why not? There's nothing wrong with that. I don't even think we're leeching at all. That's what it's for, I think. That's what it's there for.
Well, that's why they bought it. They said, oh, we want people to do this on our bandwidth. And I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I will.
Mm-hmm.
So I am. And I don't mind. I don't mind that now that I look at it that way.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else going on, Doug, that you wanted to note down? Because we only have a few minutes here.
I am, of course, going to be in Gettysburg this upcoming weekend from Wednesday night through Monday. So if anybody's in Gettysburg, try and dash me up an email, and maybe we can hook up and ghost hunt.
Yeah.
I know that what we'll be doing is it's ghost hunting weekend. I mean, there's a few other diversions that'll be happening, you know. But other than that, it's pretty much all an extended ghost hunting weekend, and we'll be trying to get some evidence. I'm going to be using the condenser mic.
Yeah, you had that packed the other night.
I got it packed. I had set it up. I got the because I had originally just bought the mic, but mm-hmm. you know, I also then got the shock mount and the stand for it. So now I can, you know, set it on a rock or something, and it won't and it won't.
Be
you know,
careful
like,
around those
down.
Rocks, Doug.
Yeah, take it easy on those rocks. You'll end up in between a couple of them.
Well, I'll just make sure I don't follow any strangers through them, and I'll be okay.
What were you thinking?
That's what I'm going to work on.
What the hell were you thinking, Bonnie? I got to chastise you once again.
Apparently, I wasn't thinking. Yes, I walked off into the woods.
That was
man,
what
I didn't know.
You took my girlfriend.
Now, if I did that, people
would
talk.
Wait.
You took my girlfriend.
Wait a minute.
You took my girlfriend.
Wait.
What's wrong with you?
Wait. Let me clarify something.
Clarify what?
Okay?
Clarify what?
Amber and I were standing there, and you can ask her.
Okay.
The gentleman said, do you want to go over there? I know a place where they found five bodies, blah, 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 whatever. I was still standing there. Your girlfriend started walking with him.
Really?
Yes.
Amber, I'm kicking your ass next time I see you. I know she's listening.
I think
I'm not happy about this. But this happened back in July. What's wrong with you people?
It
I'm surrounded by idiots, my God.
We both came out of the woods. I can't say completely unscathed because I was bruised up and I had holes in me and I was bleeding because I fell in a thorn bush. But still,
well, you know, that opposed to a machete wound, I think you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you didn't do too bad. Yeah.
Anyways, Doug, just be careful on the rocks in Gettysburg. There are a lot.
Yeah, stay away from the tour guides. Don't want to deal with it.
I most certainly will try and be safe, and I've got Sean there to protect me. So,
Sean's tough. He can take it.
I think you should roll down another hill.
I think Sean.
No, Doug can't roll down any hills without me.
I go crooked. I'm not quite as advanced as Bonnie at it yet. So yeah, we got to have hill roll lessons come up in the spring.
Well, I think that the guys from GHI, we had them on last week. I think they might be able to show us some pointers also. If you've seen any of their videos, people out there. Ghost Hunters Incorporated, we had on last week. Go to Google, Google Movies, or go to YouTube or whatever, and type in, you know, Ghost Hunters Incorporated. And if you want to laugh yourself half to death and still get a taste of the paranormal, you know, check these guys out. And they do a lot of funny stuff like that too. You know, I mean, we're not breaking any new ground with that. I think the guys from GHI were doing it about 5 years ago. That's all right though. I think they're gonna be able to give us some pointers pretty soon. They're coming up here pretty soon to come and hang out with us.
Oh, that's cool.
As we discussed that this week, so that's gonna happen also. Yeah, basically, Doug. Though, hey man, you're on vacation though. First paid
vacation in 12 years.
Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
Not only that, you know, I will not be in studio next Sunday either.
I know.
I will physically be in Gettysburg at that time.
Yeah.
So I'll be able to report on the things that we found and the things we were able to accomplish.
I got to think now. This sucks. I got to be thinking all this, the rest of the show. I have to be thinking the whole time. I just can't point at you, Doug, and go, help. Help, I'm in a quandary.
Because Keith and I are just window dressing.
I'm kidding.
I'm here.
Well,
I'm still mad at you. I'm still mad at you,
Bonnie. We're here to pretty up the studio.
I'm still mad at you.
Why are you mad at me?
What do you mean pretty up the studio? What the hell are you talking about?
I'm saying someone's got to make it look good.
I'm very good looking. My mom says I'm very handsome.
That's your mom.
My mom says I'm the best kisser.
You know, if we had more time, would you say?
If we had more, you really want to listen to that on the archive?
Yeah, I would have to listen to that. Yeah. If we had more time, I'd patch her in.
Anyways, Doug Nathan says he might be able to drive down there next weekend if you're going to be ghost hunting.
Email.
We will be there. Nathan, give me a buzz anytime on my cell phone because we'll. Let's hook that up because it'll be me, Sean Burris, and all the ghosts.
Yeah, all the
so
ghosts. Everyone.
Me, Sean Burris, Nathan, and all the ghosts would rock out because that way we'd have more equipment and more experiences to share next week on Ghostly Talk during our first half hour when we get to talk.
So, yeah, we're going to have you back on next week, though. You know, we'll figure out this week how long you want to stay on, but we'll have you on next week live. From Gettysburg. That's going to be really cool.
Exactly. I will be remoting from Gettysburg.
That's going to be really exciting.
So, Keith, Bonnie, and Scott L., I want to wish you a really good show. You've got Lone Star Spirits, you know, Pete Haviland of Lone Star Spirits coming up.
Uh-huh.
You've got Robbie Thomas, mm-hmm. the psychic. You've got Jay Allen Zenelik, who's going to talk to you about, ghosts.
Imagine that. Ghost Month continues here in November.
It's going to be a fantastic show. I wish
show.
I could stick around, but I got to get my vacation rolling.
Yeah, definitely. So, Doug, have fun on your vacation.
Hope it rains.
Okay. I just Rain-X'd my window.
He did. He was really happy
Doug?
About that.
Doug?
Yeah?
If Nathan shows up, you have to do the same thing to him that I told you to do to Sean for me. Thanks.
Oh, I hope he doesn't take that the wrong way, too.
If you bathe in Rain-X, do you still get wet?
This sounds like a vacation. It's going to be a good vacation. I feel energized, guys.
If I wipe down my head with Rain-X, do I still have to use an umbrella?
God!
That's a good question.
Ooh, rim shot! Woo!
That was nice. Things I think about.
All right, okay, guys, let's go to break here. Doug, hang on the line for a second. We have to talk to you and scold you while we're on break. This is Ghostly
Talk. Of course.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com. Oh.
This is Tom Ryan Slayer. You're listening to GHOSTLYTALK.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasure,
new
planetary mind control, military cover-up,
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasure, planetary mind control, corporate
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit OutThereRadio.net for more information.
My name is Badge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.tarascreen.org and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a star gouged right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help to save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
I'm Sally Rhine-Feather from the Rhine Research Center, and our website is www.rhine.org. And I hope that I'll hear from some of the listeners with some stories, and you are now listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
Pete has been investigating and researching the paranormal in Houston and the surrounding areas for over 20 years. He has been in development phases with a partner to bring paranormal investigations to the forefront where it belongs by developing high-tech equipment and field testing it for later production. He has also studied and put into practice some of the techniques and theories of Harry Price, Hans Holzer, Peter Underwood, Lloyd Auerbach, Peter James, and Troy Taylor, and have developed his own methodologies and paranormal investigations.
And on that note, thank you, Keith. Very good. Hey, all right. Let's get Pete.
I saw names and freaked out.
No, you're okay. You did a great job. Pete, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Really, really good. You know, we were talking on break for a few minutes. It was really funny. And you mentioned this thing called open mic. I'm like, you know, on break we usually we try to call.
I'm really scared that I brought that up.
No, it's cool. No, this is really fun. No, this isn't going to be bad at all. It's actually very funny. We were talking on break. We always try to talk to our guests for a few minutes before we go on into the show and stuff. And I'm like, hey, Pete, what do you want to talk about? He's like, oh, well, we can just do like an open mic thing. And when I think of open mic, I always think of like, you know, poetry reading and stuff like that, you know. And I remember, God, this was like 1996, 10 years ago.
This is showing
my age, right? The first band I ever played in, right, was playing at this festival.
Where were you at?
Yeah, we were playing at this
festival. What was that?
No. We were playing at this festival at a place called Riverland Park. You know where that's at, Keith? I'm sure.
I played there.
Yeah, you played there too. You probably played there the same time we were. We didn't know each other back then, though.
We could have.
We probably did. And there was like a stage for the bands, and there was a stage for poetry readings. Right.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad came to this show. And while we're setting our equipment up, the kids are listening there. All the kids are hanging out. We're setting our gear up and stuff like that. And there's this kid over there reading this poetry. He's reading this poem, and he's like, and like the way the poem went was like, you don't like to do things the way I like to do them, and so you need to shut the F up. And you don't think this is a really cool thing, so you need to shut the F up. And you're doing this and doing that, so you need to shut the... And this kid's going on. He's doing the same thing. And this went on for at least like, it was going on for like 10 minutes. Right?
He needed a hug.
Mom Al, was visibly getting annoyed by this kid.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Visibly getting annoyed. So, you know, we're still sitting there. We're just, I don't care. I don't really just, I phase it out. I just ignore it. And then all of a sudden, he keeps us, you need to shut the F. My mother looks over at this kid across the park and goes, you need to shut the F up right now. This kid had an audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole audience, they're falling out of their chairs laughing. The band, us and under our tent, we're laughing. This kid literally sold up, almost cried, walked off the stage like he was being oppressed by the man.
Go, Mom Al.
I'm sorry, Pete, I hate to cut you, but I had to just...
No, that's funny. Pete, I thought you were going to tell me that maybe the band whipped into like Alice Bowie, Earache My Eye or something. I was waiting for that punchline.
No. You're a member of Lone Star Spirits, from what I understand. The website is lonestarspirits.org, right?
Correct. Yes.
You guys are doing a lot of work. I'm just, you know, like I said, we were just going to kind of freestyle this like we usually do. What have you guys been? What have you guys been doing lately? I'm just wondering what your current events are.
Well, we normally do about 98% of our residentials. Right now, I've currently got about 8 cases that we're either starting or in process of right now. We're currently dealing with everything from possible poltergeist activity to house settlings to out and out. I have one client that's we think she's got a medical condition that's making her see a lot of stuff, so we're in the process of looking at that too.
Oh, really? You know, that's a lot, and we've talked to all kinds of people here, Pete, and like. That's something that's been coming up a lot, it seems like, is that, you know, and it's a common thing, right? It's a common thing. I mean, people think they're seeing, they may think they really are seeing ghosts, where it may be a medical condition that they have that they may not know about. And, and that's one way I think paranormal investigators can help people out as far as this plane of existence is concerned, right?
You know, I agree.
Sure, we didn't find any ghosts here, but hey, you know what? Here's a good doctor you can go to maybe get you some help, maybe get you straightened out.
Well, I actually deal with two psychologists. I have a transpersonal psychologist, and I also have a forensic psychologist that works with us.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, I mean, they normally come in, and they'll assess our clientele and let us know if, you know, they're a good witness, if, you know, if we're looking at any type of personality disorder, you know, something, you know, whatever the case may be. So we can act accordingly.
That's interesting, and that's a good tool to have. I think also, you know, I mean, that's that's something I don't think a lot of groups have. But you know, it's something I suggest maybe some people might want to try to check into. I mean, I don't. Okay, if you're in a new ghost hunting group, don't go out and spend thousands of dollars to hire a psychologist to come in there and help you out. See if you can have somebody to help you out. Do a barter thing like we do with people. Do whatever you can. But that's a good idea actually, to bring someone in like that to try to assess the situation. I know. And I've seen a bunch of different variations of this now. A lot of groups, which I think is a fascinating thing and a fantastic thing they're doing, is these groups are starting to put together their – and I think there's actually like a standardized one out there. You might know about this, Pete. I'm not 100% sure. There's a standardized sheet now, I think, that's out there circulating on the Internet that's an actual like template sheet for like an interview session to interview a person who says they're having a haunting, right? So that's – and a lot of that – is to try to figure out if the person may have some mental issues, you know what I'm saying? So that's something that, you know, I think a lot of groups need to start looking at a lot nowadays.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is, though, is if you tend to try to make a diagnosis with that, and if you're not qualified, there are some law and logistics issues with that.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, because if you don't have the background and you're making the diagnosis of that, I mean, you know, if it's misdiagnosed, you're opening yourself up for a lot of heartache.
Yes. Well, I'm wondering how that would happen because if you give this, let's say you give this person this interview, right? Mm-hmm. You ask him these questions, you have a nice conversation with him, and then you say, okay, look, I think this person honestly has some other issues they're dealing with. I don't think it's worth our time, really, maybe to go. I mean, this is what's going on, possibly. Let's just assume for a second that this test we give them is the be-all, end-all. This is what we base our decision on, and this is going to make or break our decision to go to this to their house to do an investigation or not. I don't know.
If you kind of do it, it's something for like an internal thing.
That's what I'm saying.
I can understand that, but I mean, if you're going to tell the people what the results are, you have to really watch out for that.
Well, yeah, so I'm saying I don't think my idea with that would not be to go, hey, look, you know, that's going to be kind of a hard thing to do though. If you interview this person, you said, hey, yeah, we're interested in checking your house out. Just fill out this questionnaire, right? And then you call them back and say, hey, look, we're not coming to your house. They're going to ask why. They're going to ask why, right?
I would say in situations like that, you got to be prepared to have a story. As you know, you can't tell them, you know, what you think.
At that point in time, I would probably tell them that, you know, our test indicates that you might want to see one of our professionals and give them a phone number.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be something. Yeah. I know we live in a country of Sue Happy Madness right now.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me real nervous.
Yeah, I know. I understand. You know, and there's especially doing this kind of stuff, you can open yourself up to a lot of things if you're not careful. So that's a very good thing to keep in mind, though, Pete. What else are you guys working on?
Well, I said we do predominantly the residentials. We have been working on a television pilot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've been shooting with that. Matter of fact, we were working with Tanya Hacker.
Yeah, Tanya.
For a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And right now, I think it's in a dormant state at this moment. But yeah, we started on that. Well, you know, I've done about 6 or 8 pilots. So, I mean, you know, they go everywhere from a dormant state to, you know, somebody picks it up or it's shown.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you get a few phone calls and it's either alive or dead. I mean, it's just, that's the nature of the business on that side of it. But it's been pretty fun, though. I mean, going and working with other teams. We worked with a couple of teams from one from Dallas and one from Fort Worth, and you know, some people from Oklahoma on that one investigation. And I always get a kick out of doing that.
Well, I know a lot of people. There's people working on things like that, and I know from experience that a lot of those projects, they can die on the vine. Let's just say they can die on the vine very easily if they're not like paid constant attention to. You see what I'm saying? So it is, yeah, I know where you're going. I know exactly how that happens. We've done a few things like that ourselves. And for me, it's just the experience. I know for Doug also, it's just the experience of doing cool stuff like that. We think it's fun. It's really neat, you know, just to go out there.
Oh, it's a blast.
Yeah, it's a total blast. So it's a lot of fun.
And you had mentioned, you know, that you played in bands. I played in bands for a long time, too. So, you know, I kind of walked into this along with, you know, when I was playing in bands, you know, you go into a recording studio and somebody wants you to, you know, do an EP for us, we'll shop it and, you know, we'll call you, not call you. So, I mean, when I talk about the video stuff that we do, kind of a matter-of-factly thing, it's kind of like been there, done that, just a different media.
Yeah, you know, it's the same, it's all the same thing. It's all really, I mean, and I hate to use the term, but it really breaks down to the entertainment business. It really breaks. It all kind of gets put under that umbrella. I know there's a lot more to it in our arena of doing this particular kind of work, but that's the way it's looked at from the other side of the counter is, you know, this is entertainment, and it all has the same process, which is basically a complete waiting game, and you end up waiting forever, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that you were a musician. I was talking to a very famous paranormal person a few months ago at one of the conferences we were at this year, and we were discussing that. And he's like, "Hey, you know, you used to be a musician, right?" It's kind of like, "Yeah, I used to jam. I used to do this thing." He's like, "It's so weird because there's so many people, it seems, that are into the paranormal now that used to be musicians." For some reason, there's this weird correlation going on here. Maybe it is the expanded thought by playing music that you have to put into it. To, you know, if you want to write music and record music, you kind of got to get your mind to a certain state. Maybe there's something there. I'd like to explore that a little bit, maybe, to see what the correlation is.
Well, I think it's a lot of it has to do, too, with the creativity as well as the open-mindedness, as you're saying. You're willing to accept or try new things and try different things instead of you know, your 9-to-5 stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. There has to be some type of connective fiber there between the two ideas, I think. And I found that really interesting. And I've been meeting more and more people, it seems, especially this year, that have all been in bands. They've sent me CDs and said, here's my CD, check it out. You know, yeah, I'm a ghost hunter too. I'm like, that's pretty sweet. Pretty neat, dude. How long you've actually been working on this stuff? I'm just wondering how long you've been ghost hunting.
Let's see. Well, I had my first real big experience when I was 12 years old. I'm 39 now, so pretty much off and on all that time. I've been doing the paranormal investigations for, it's probably going on a little over 20 years now.
Wow.
9 years with Lone Star, but I did a lot of investigative stuff on my own before I got with Lone Star.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm wondering, you mentioned that you had your first experience when you were 12, am I correct?
Yes.
Did you want to talk? Would you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think my therapist will let me talk about it. Yeah. Uncle Ted's not anymore around anymore. I can talk about it. No, I was 12 years old. I was watching monster movies with my dog, and I think it might be Frankenstein or the Wolfman. It was one of the old ones, and it was about like 1 or 2 in the morning, and room got kind of cold. And the hair started standing up on the back of my neck and my arms. And my dog kind of sat up and turned around and started kind of had this low growl and was looking up my parents' down stairway. And I turned around and looked at it, and I saw my grandfather walking down the stairs. And that's all well and cool, but, you know, Grandpa had been passed for about a year.
Uh-oh.
And, so I saw him walk down, and he walked into a closet. and which is something that, you know, you don't normally see every day from somebody live.
But grandpas don't usually walk in the closets either.
No,
my grandpa don't.
No, yeah. And so, I mean, I wasn't scared of him, seeing him. I mean, I really didn't understand at that point kind of what the concepts were.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I saw my grandfather, and I thought it was kind of cool, actually, and I was wanted to find out why he went into the closet, or even if he was still in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I opened up the door, I found this. It was a very ornate sewer cover from Italy. He brought it back over with him when he came back to the States.
Mm-hmm.
It was like it looked like I think it was a sewer cover, like it was a municipal cover. I call it a sewer cover,
mm-hmm.
but it was like it was of an angel. And he had that in, like, two of his houses that he built over here in the States.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
So at that point, I kind of figured that, you know, it was something that had to do with, you know, my grandfather owned it, and it was in his houses, and he had it for a long time. So I'm figuring at that point he might have gone to walk towards it because it had something to do with one of his houses or Italy or something of that nature.
Or it was familiar to him. It was
exactly,
a familiar thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, at that point, I just started reading everything I could about haunted houses and ghosts, and it just kind of progressed through the years, even into college. I had a psychology professor that was really cool, that he kind of let me write on anything about the paranormal as long as I could write it about what we were studying. And so, you know, I would sit there and try to figure how I can bring up a haunting when we're talking about Pavlovian theory. But, you know, I did it somehow.
Well,
but
the paranormal, though, it's you know, people are doing so much more work on a scientific basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the way I think we're going to push this thing forward, is if you do approach it from all these different viewpoints or all these different scientific executions, That's how we may get some answers, possibly, or maybe find some correlation or find something that makes sense finally. Because nothing makes sense in this stuff to me. I'm still, you know, all these years later, just doing the show by, you know, just doing Ghostly Talk here. I still don't know what's going on. I have no clue. It's
an undiscovered territory.
It's completely undiscovered, and that's why there's just so many different ways to approach it, so many things to try. There's so much work to do, I think. And that's why, you know, I don't lock myself into anything though either. I mean, I don't sound like you do either, Pete. It sounds like you're pretty open minded about things also.
I tend to use metaphysics along with a scientific approach. I kind of call it walking the gray.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get both to shake hands. Now it doesn't always work, but when it does, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds very cool. I mean, like you said, there's so much out there to do, and that's the point we always try to make to people, is that, you know, try something new, try something whatever. There's a lot of shows on right now that are giving people pointers on how to do things. That's all great. I'm totally cool with that. But try to just expand on that a little bit and try to develop your own theories, your own
practices. But you always need to have a control, though, when you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're totally right.
So this way, if you do have somebody that's a diehard skeptic, you know, if they come up and say, well, you know, why did you do this? And you say, well, I ran two different IR cameras, and I had a regular camera. And the regular camera was monitoring the area. So this way, you know, if you catch an orb on all three cameras, and you have the control camera being the regular camera,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can't say, well, you know, it has something to do with that, those two cameras or IR or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
However, it's technical, whatever specs they want to spit at you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
Well, and that's a very good point, though. Thanks for bringing that up, Pete. You need to have control. There's a lot. We've had a few people on this year, actually, that really have driven the message home, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They may have not come across as friendly as I would have liked them to, but they made their point nonetheless. And one of the people mentioned and said, look, I'm happy there's all these groups going out there doing this work now, but what they're doing basically is haphazardly going out to cemeteries or wherever it may be, haunted buildings or whatever, and haphazardly collecting information with no controls, with no theory, with nothing. They're just going out there and doing a bunch of stuff. There's no process. There's no notes being taken.
Right.
And that right there, unfortunately, I hate to say it, if you really want to try to present this to someone who's going to rip it apart,
mm-hmm.
they're going to rip it apart. That's all you can do.
You have to have your stuff documented. I mean, modern science today is very, very technical, and you have to cover yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Your research has to be almost flawless, and that's hard to do, even and especially in a field like this. That, I mean, there's so many big holes in some things.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of holes, and that's what we're trying. I mean, that's why I say go out there and try new things. But you're right, Pete. That's a good point. Always have a control in place. Mm-hmm. I know when we do our EVP sessions, I always make sure if I'm going to be recording, there's going to be somebody else recording there mm-hmm. also for me too. And then if we catch something on my recorder, we go back and listen to the other recorders too to see
exactly.
if we catch the same thing. What's in the future for Lone Star?
I'm sorry?
What's in the future for Lone Star Spirits?
Basically, continuing on what we're what we're doing still, just we do the residentials. I've got my book I got picked up on, and I'm in the process of still writing that. So
oh, really?
I think that'll be released probably within the next year.
Do you have a title for it yet?
No, I don't have anything working yet.
Okay.
But it's kind of more along the lines of what we were just discussing about how I use the metaphysical side as well as the scientific side, and kind of talking about some of the techniques that I use and stuff.
Excellent. Well, trying to
see if we can help out with that.
When that thing drops, we'd like to have you back on the show to discuss that in detail
awesome.
As far as the book's concerned. That
sure.
sounds like, everybody's working on books now, too. I guess we have to...
Everyone.
I am
actually writing a book. It's a tell-all expose on the guys of Ghostly Talk.
You're kidding me.
All right.
Nope.
I'll
send you one.
I knew that was going to happen sooner or later about all of our sick things we do in the background
and
whatnot.
Who's better to write it than me?
I know. You've been here the whole time, Bonnie. You've been here pretty much like since the beginning.
I know.
I think
that's scary.
Yeah, you've pretty much
I'm
going
to have to find
time.
A way to blackmail her so she doesn't reveal our little I don't want people to know about me, Scott.
I don't know. The less I know, the better off I am, probably.
In this situation, Pete, I think you are better off. I think you're much better off. There's a lot of people working on books now, and that's really cool. There's a lot of people out there working on books like yourself, Pete. And I think that's great, too. I think we should start working on ours also. I don't know what we're going to write about, though. Like, okay, this is how you plug a thing into a cord and talk about the paranormal or whatever. I mean,
This is how you go on the paranormal conference tour.
Well, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. You know, Pete, you're going to have to. I think I'm gonna have to finish that thing up and get it up on the site. We're actually going to be like on tour next year, I think. That's what we're calling it. It's the Ghostly Talk Tour, where we're going to be basically like, as of right now, 3 months next year, we're not going to be going out of state sometime in the month. That's kind of what's going on right now. We only have 3 months. Nine months out of next year, we're going to be on the road.
Are already booked?
Oh, wow.
Booked.
I want to be a
groupie. In the can, ready to go. It's next year is going to be completely crazy. So hopefully, there's actually one of those is the Texas Ghost Hunters Conference that I haven't confirmed just yet, but that I might be working on.
Well, if I can help you all out, just let me know.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to check that out. I have to talk to the people still, but I know it's one we haven't locked in the can yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll follow that up with you, though, Pete, and we'll see what's up. Maybe we get to hang out that weekend that's going on. I don't have any of the details yet, of course. Pete, we need to thank you for coming on the show and hanging out. We really appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
I really enjoyed it.
Great. Hey, stay on the line for 1 second. We're just going to go to break here, all right?
Sure, not a problem.
Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. We were just speaking to Mr. Pete Haviland of Lone Star Spirits. That is lonestarspirits.org. Check him out. Definitely. Great time. Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
I think we should take a break.
I think that's a good idea.
Are we having fun?
Yeah, I'm always having fun.
I'm having a lot of fun.
Are you having a good time?
I'm
this is quite entertaining to watch.
I gotta
listen
say this.
And to watch you go nuts on the board.
Keith's giving me a lot of
I'm working hard
the
here.
Book, too.
Yeah, I'm working real hard here, man.
You
I'm
are.
Doing all this stuff. We got the hang of it, though, now.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the first week?
Oh, the first week was horrible.
It actually came out pretty good, but it just was like, you know. Just
I know, but I
on.
Thought you were going to punch someone by the end of the
I was not happy. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happens on breaks here that you guys just do not want to know about between us. That was one of those weeks where I was just like,
mm-hmm.
just munching a piece of cold pizza down on breaks, screaming at people and stuff. It was terrible. Guys,
well, sometimes you got to do that when you get the show going.
Yeah, totally. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Keith.
We'll be right back after this.